Well, hello and welcome to Ed Said, the podcast of Ed Says. Here is where I take a couple of segments from the day show in case you missed something or wanted to re-listen or whatever. It's supplemental to the regular show, which I encourage you to tune into 10 a.m. to noon, weekdays on the Talk of Connecticut. And I always try to include some sort of exclusive content or rambling, really, at the beginning of these podcasts. But some days I just got nothing. I really got nothing. I've got nothing on my mind worth boring you with. I got a lot of it out on the show. There's a lot going on tomorrow after the VP debate. There might be something more. I don't want to bore you with stories about my kid or my old man roller hockey league that I play in. Game tomorrow at 10 o'clock, though. Wish me luck. Or my fantasy football league, in which I am first in my division, 3-1. Should be 4-0. I lost by 2 points. Oh, it makes me so mad. Or the fact that I am going to try to, you know, exercise a little more and try to lose a few pounds. Those are all personal things. Oh, and I accidentally dropped a soda can on my wife's foot. She was barefoot, no socks, hit her toe, bruised it badly. I have never felt so guilty, and we'll spend the next 2 weeks trying to make it up to her. But all those things aren't as exciting as, you know, discussing what's going to happen in the VP debate tonight or, you know, talking about Donald Trump and his comments and PTSD and Joe Biden's response, because that's what's making it into the podcast today. Today's exclusive content, this intro, is just this rambling nonsense. I encourage you to take part any way you want via Twitter at EdSaysCT, email edsays@talkofconnecticut.com, and of course, when I'm live, 888-574-2723. If there's a topic you'd like my take on or you want to bring to my attention, feel free to let me know. If you hate the way I did something, let me know. I'm not above criticism. If it's good criticism, I'll take it. Jump into the podcast.
Joining us now is Dr. Bart Rossi, PhD, political psychologist. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
The debate is tonight, Longwood University in Virginia. Who do you give the advantage going in right off the bat?
Well, I give a little bit of an advantage to Tim Kaine because I think Pence is going to have a difficult time defending Donald Trump, and not for anything right or wrong, but Donald Trump has a very unusual personality. We all know that. And he can market himself very well. He could deflect. He can present himself quite well. But for someone else to do that, for someone else like Pence to defend Donald Trump and his behavior and his comments and his words, I think it's a tough task for Pence to actually step up and speak for or about Donald Trump. I think that would be hard for anybody, quite frankly.
So let's talk about the pluses when it comes to the electorate. Well, first of all, does the VP debate even matter?
Well, I don't think it's going to move the needle. I don't think it's going to have more people vote Democrat or more people vote Republican. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think something interesting will happen tonight because of the last few days. I think it will be quite heated because of the problem that Trump has now of not paying taxes or taking a $1 billion, almost a $1 billion deduction. That's something that really is going to be a talking point, and it's a hard one for Americans to get their arms around. They could understand successful business, but not paying taxes and taking huge deductions when lots of folks are working hard and they don't get that, that's a problem, and Pence is going to have a difficult time, I think, and he'll probably be prepared for that question, though.
Well, he's got to prepare for a list because it's been a tough week for Donald when you talk taxes, you talk the Cuba connection, his charity being told to stop operating in New York, and then yesterday with the PTSD comments. That's right. All going to fall on the shoulders of Mike Pence.
It will. And you brought up the post-traumatic stress situation. I'm a psychologist. And it's just another statement by Trump that should not have been made. I mean, he should be out there talking about how important mental health is for everybody and that it should be included in the healthcare system in a different manner. And instead, he says something that's, you know, just not right about our service people. And he doesn't seem to understand or grasp post-traumatic stress or what it's all about. It was really, I think, an unfortunate comment at best.
And I am no Trump supporter by or defender by any means. I don't think it was his intention to maybe say what he said the way he said it, but those words came out, and that I think it exposes maybe a lack of knowledge on his part that you alluded to, the idea that you can be strong and get through something like this.
Exactly, and it's another example. If it was one thing and he could backtrack on it, that would be fine. But there are many, and I even looked up on his website. I've tried to watch him about Obamacare. He's going to get rid of Obamacare. He's going to have the greatest and the best healthcare system. He doesn't say one thing about what he would do. He says nothing about what he would actually do to include mental health. He does not seem to understand or know anything when it comes to certain big issues. He does not know. He doesn't present it. And what I blame him for is not the fact that he isn't an expert, but how about at least a few sound bites? Give me something about what Obamacare or what would happen without Obamacare. What would he have? What would that look like? How about a couple sound bites? He doesn't even do that.
What are the pluses that Pence brings to the table? What can he? Is there anything he can focus on that can help Trump tonight?
Well, yes, I think that Pence is a solid Christian conservative. He needs to present himself and a winning personality in that context. He needs to be comfortable in presenting who he is, consistent on the issues. He needs to try to reach out to everybody and present like he's a good listener and that he could be a good person to temper, if you will, Donald Trump. He's a good number two guy. With Donald Trump, if he does all of that and he could say that, you know, he's a solid Christian conservative and he brings these credentials to the table, he could shore up the base and he could pitch to the people supporting Trump.
So the interesting thing is, on the flip side, Kane isn't that far off when you talk about that religious base. He is a Christian missionary. He is a Catholic and is personally pro-life, but has a pro-choice record. So if you struck that pro-choice record from his history, he would align at least religiously with what you just described.
Yes. I mean, he is a progressive, but he's a very moderate progressive person. And he wants women to have a choice, but he's personally against abortion. He makes his feelings known. And he has some very clear positions. And he's a pretty solid guy. I mean, they're both solid in terms of what they believe and who they are. And they should present that.
So I have seen some stuff about Pence that rubs me the wrong way, specifically his statements on cigarette smoking. As a former smoker, I know the health risks with them, and there were moments where he wasn't really convinced that cigarette smoking is dangerous.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's unfortunate. I kind of agree with you. That's like a political spin, you know, because you're from a southern state, you know, where tobacco is an issue, so you put a little bit of a spin on it. And I think that's probably where he's coming from, given the context of, you know, who he is and the region of the country and the politics that he had to play. There's no real excuse for that, though. I agree with you.
And then I look at Pence again, and there's just nothing there that I can get with, especially his hardline anti-abortion pill, specifically the one that was blocked by a federal judge, in which he would have required every woman who miscarried or had an abortion to have a funeral for the fetus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, how far are we going to go on this abortion issue? You've got a good point there, and you know, I think the country is going in a certain direction. I'm not sure some of the politicians understand that, but it's socially, it's going in a more progressive direction. Doesn't mean that conservative ideas aren't any good. It means that they might be very good in a certain context, but not when it comes to a lot of the social issues, including abortion.
Do you think that we'll see anything like a bombshell or anything tonight, or are we pretty much it's just going to be defending their candidate, you know, whether it's Kane defending Clinton or Pence defending Trump?
Well, you know, the bombshell that could come out here is really if Kane becomes very dynamic about Trump not paying any taxes, and they get into a heated discussion about that or debate on that point, I think that Kane could win big on that. And make Pence and Trump look pretty terrible, given the fact that we all pay taxes and people are working hard. And getting into this whole thing just doesn't work well for the GOP. So that's the only real bombshell I could see in this whole thing.
And does a Kane, resounding Kane victory make it tougher on Trump in round two against Hillary?
Well, it might set the stage a little bit, make it a little bit more difficult, but I don't really think it's going to matter that much. They both have to come out prepared on Sunday for the next debate, and they need to stand up for themselves. And we haven't seen Donald Trump really do that, except in the primary season, where he really didn't stand up for himself so much as he marketed himself extremely well by deflecting and dodging and presenting himself in a very unique way to win the primary season. But he never said what he would do and who he is. So he's going to be more confronted on Sunday night by Hillary Clinton and who he is.
Dr. Bart Rossi, political psychologist, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I got an email from Robin who says, knock Trump all you like. You might be right, but it still doesn't make Hillary virtuous or honest. So I would say, no kidding. I've said that multiple times. I have listed the issues I have with Clinton as president. Some aren't fair. When I say I don't want the same family in the White House, that's not fair to her. The fact that her husband achieved that office before her shouldn't be held against her. But at the same time, I look at the simple mathematics of it and the percentages of one individual becoming president, let alone a married couple sharing that duty over the span of a couple decades. I have issue with that. I have issue with her secrecy, her lack of transparency. I have issues with the email server. I look at all the investigations or the accusations, and I see how they've amounted to nothing. So do I, by saying Hillary is the better choice between the two, does that make her perfect? By no means. But really, who is? It is, though, sometimes people hear with half an ear, and I understand, maybe you're working, maybe you're doing something else, and you're half listening, and you only hear that which sets you off or that you disagree with. But based on this email, knock Trump all you like, as I do, because he continues to give us reasons to question his ability. Liker or hater, Hillary hasn't said or done anything in the news cycle in the past few months to the level that Trump has to question her abilities to be leader like he has. You might be right. I am probably more than might. I am assuredly right on this, because it's all based on him and his behaviors. And it doesn't make Hillary virtuous or honest. What it does is, when pitting the two head to head, as I stated yesterday, if you gave me the choice between losing an arm and having my head cut off, I would take the arm every day. And that is painting a bleak picture of what a Hillary presidency would be. Leave your partisan politics behind, drop your R's and D's, drop whatever allegiance you have, and objectively, there is a world of difference between the two candidates. So it was a brief four-sentence or fragment email, and that was it. I appreciate the email. I appreciate you taking the time to email. I know people have busy lives, and even taking that much time, it means something to me. It means you're involved and want to be involved, but make sure you're catching everything I say. I would have preferred a different candidate for president. I think it would have been an easier path for the Democrats if they had put forth Sanders or Biden. I hate the idea of Hillary being owed this. I don't think that's how it should work. At the same time, the Republicans, they did it the way it should work, to their detriment. They listened to their constituents, and Trump is the candidate. To their demise, we're seeing the death throes of the Republican Party. They had 17 candidates, and none of them elicited any sort of pride in them. Everybody was questioning. Everybody kind of liked one, but not really. And then Trump trounced them all, and here we are. So I don't say Hillary is virtuous or honest. I just say that, given the choice, that's where I lean. You are able to make your own decisions. I am sure to tell you when I'm editorializing, and that is editorializing. When I say I and me and my and how I feel, that is editorializing. And when I talk about Donald Trump in this next story, this is factual because I'm going to play words from his mouth. And I want you to think about them.
When you talk about the mental health problems, when people come back from war and combat and they see things that maybe a lot of the folks in this room have seen many times over, and you're strong and you can handle it, but a lot of people can't handle it. And they see horror stories. They see events that you couldn't see in a movie. Nobody would believe it. We are losing so many great people that can be taken care of if they have proper care. You know, when you hear the 22 suicides a day, it's a big part of your question, but when you hear the 22 suicides a day, that should never be. That should never be. So we're going to be addressing that very strongly, and the whole mental health issue is going to be a very important issue when I take over.
So split that comment into two, and it illustrates Trump's issues. Because what he's getting hit on is the line where he says, when people come back from war and combat, they see many things that maybe a lot of folks in this room have seen many times over, and you're strong and you can handle it. But a lot of people can't handle it. Whether that is a backhanded compliment or pandering, either way, it is an incorrect statement because it isn't strength that gets you through it. The strongest of people can be affected by PTSD. And the implication that someone who is affected isn't strong is incorrect. And it is dangerous. It is damaging. It is a stigma that needs to be removed from it. If the idea that somebody who suffers from PTSD, somebody who sees something and is affected by it, who is in action and comes home and is affected by it, isn't strong enough, is perpetuating a stereotype and a stigma that is not accurate and should not be perpetuated. Like it or not, words have meaning. Do I think he went out of his way to say that those suffering PTSD are weak? No. Do I think he meant harm by it? No. But know that words have meaning. And words can cause damage, especially his words. He has followers. He has followers suffering from PTSD. And the implication is if they're not getting help, or if they are getting help, if they can't deal with it on their own, they're weak. And that's not the case. If you're suffering from PTSD, get help. Ask for help. It's not weak. It takes strength to ask for help. Meanwhile, Vice President Joe Biden had this to say.
I have a card I carry with me. My schedule. Every single day I have my staff contact the Defense Department early in the morning. There's a black box in the bottom of it. And it lists U.S. daily troop update. U.S. troops died in Afghanistan and Iraq. 6,753. Not plus 6,000. Not 6,700. 6,753. Because every one of those warriors left behind an entire family. A community for us, every one of them, 52,419 wounded. But as a veteran can tell you, over 200,000 coming home with unseen wounds. 20 suicides a month. I don't think he was trying to be mean. He is just so thoroughly, completely uninformed.
Now, there are those who have said that this is an attempt by the media to twist his words. But words have meaning, and he should be careful about how he chooses them. That is a responsibility that is up to him. So if that was not his intent, that is fine. But when you say you're strong and you can handle it, but a lot of people can't handle it, so either he is saying there are those that aren't strong who can't handle it, or he's saying that just those in the room are strong. You just have to look at how it's delivered and what's said. And I don't want to make this about another Trump fumble. I want to make this about PTSD and those who need help. The VA's National Center for PTSD says PTSD can happen to anyone. It's not a sign of weakness. A number of factors can increase the chance that someone will develop PTSD, many of which are not under that person's control. So if any good comes from this, it is a continued conversation and a reminder that while we are so quick to send, to champion our soldiers and to send them overseas, we can't forget about them when they get home.